Do you love me?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to ask you again when this is over. We'll see how it works out. If you have read your Bible, by the way, you're going to notice that idolatry is a sin that is particularly hated and commanded against by the Lord. The title of today's message is Idolatry Today. You don't really think about idolatry being so prevalent so much today. Now, I personally believe that the primary reason that God hates sin so much, and he does, is because of the damage that it does to us whom he loves. There are no doubt other reasons as well. Idolatry is damaging and it is dangerous on many levels. You're going to see some of those levels today, I think. The extremes of it can be seen in displays of open demonic worship. Like this last month, it's here in Houston, this Astro World concert was an openly obvious, a blatant Satan-worshipping festival. 9 young people were crushed to death as their sacrifice to the god of this world. Dozens of others were seriously injured while the demon-possessed entertainers sat there and laughed as they looked on. That happened this month, right here in our town. How serious is the sin of idolatry? It is far more serious than you probably think that it is. I'm going to read some scriptures. 1 Samuel 15:23. And by the way, I'm not going to cover nearly all of what the Bible has to say about this. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. Galatians, we'll go to the New Testament, chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, there it is, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. People today, even ignorant Christians, I didn't say stupid Christians, I said ignorant Christians, those who have not learned better, they dabble in witchcraft and its companion sin of idolatry like it is something cute and harmless. Let me assure you that it is neither cute, and it is certainly not harmless. I want you to listen to God's word on this. Relatively certain that many of you do not realize what you're messing with. We're going to start with the basic commandments, right at the top of the 10, okay? Exodus chapter 20, verse number 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. There are 3 commands here. Don't make or procure to yourself, for yourself. Don't bow down or worship these, and don't serve or care for them. Leviticus 26:1, you shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 27:15, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say,
Amen.
Psalm 135, verse 15. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them, and that word make isn't just the craftsman, it's talking about they that bring them forth to themselves or procure them for themselves, are likened to them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Jeremiah 10, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Folks, we see idolatry all over the place. We've got Buddhist temples, and we've got Hindu temples all over town. Statues standing everywhere. Even Native American totem poles and supposed churches filled with statues and pictures. We've got idols standing virtually everywhere you look. And I'm talking about just the plain old graven images, just like what we're talking about here in the scripture. But we know better than to participate in that, don't we? Do we? Some of you need to do some house cleaning. I suppose some do, but I'm not talking about the dirt and the clutter. I'm talking about your cute little Buddhas and your totem poles and your astrological charts and your dream catchers and your crucifixes and your angels and your pictures of Jesus. Remember what it said? Make the likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Where is Jesus? If he is not seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven above.
Amen.
This is on the top of the Ten Commandments. All that kind of stuff needs to go in the trash. It is an insult to the God of heaven who saved you. And some would say, but Pastor, I need my crucifix to remind me of Jesus. No, you don't. God put his Holy Spirit in you when he saved you to remind you of Jesus.
Amen.
You don't need any images. And there's a reason that we've got contemporary statues of every leader that was around the world during the time of Christ. But we don't have any of Jesus. And there's a reason that God kept that from happening. We won't go into it further today. Now that I have upset some of you, I'll tell you what you do. You go ahead and pick out the images and the likenesses that you want to keep, and then you just ask God if it's okay with him that you do. I'm serious, I really. And if he tells you it's okay, then we're just going to figure that my understanding this, that I'm understanding this all wrong, and you go ahead like you are, fair enough? Is that okay? That way you don't have to be mad at me. Now that we've gotten all that out of the way, and even though I feel very strongly about these things, that they are an affront to God, and I believe they are, let me point out to you that none of that is our biggest problem with idolatry today. There are bigger problems that we have with idolatry than that. It gets worse. It gets a lot worse. Our main text today is in the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 14, we're going to read 11 verses, and that's a lot of scripture today. We've already read a lot. We're going to read some more. But this is what happened with the elders of Israel. This is what happened with the best spiritual leaders in the land. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. This is Ezekiel the prophet. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Speak therefore unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent, and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him, and I will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. Do we want to be the people of God? And him alone to be our God?
Amen.
I know that in your heart, or at least in your spirit, those of you that are saved want nothing more than that. That's what you want. I know you do. These elders in Israel were keeping idols in secret places. They were even practicing sun worship from back in Egypt. They were holding on to old ungodly traditions and secretly embracing the gods of the heathen around them. These men of Israel made some serious mistakes, and they reaped the serious consequences of those mistakes. You don't get to claim God as first in your life and just be a pretender about it in your heart. You just don't get to do that. First mistake that they made, and you're going to find these mistakes are somewhat familiar. The first mistake that they made was that they sinned against God. Now, sin is always a mistake to sin, is it not? Sin has consequences. Even when we confess our sins and God forgives us, the consequences still remain. Sin robs us of our fellowship with God. And I don't know if you're wise enough to realize it or not, but that in and of itself is the biggest consequence of all. To be robbed of your fellowship with your Heavenly Father, even for short periods of time, is a huge consequence. Thanks to God and His promise to forgive us in 1 John 1:9, this mistake is the easiest one of them all to deal with. Even though we all sin, no Christian, no believer has to be out of fellowship with God for even 5 minutes. We don't have to be. We have the answer given to us, and it's in our heart, and we know what to do. Lord, I was wrong. It was sin. And then God restores our fellowship. What a merciful, loving God that we serve. The mistake number two that they made, and it was a huge mistake, they set up idols in their hearts. Now, that's one thing to set up a graven image and revere that thing in some way or another. But what is an idol of the heart? What is he talking about here? An idol of the heart is something that in some way takes that place in your heart that belongs only to God. Isn't he supposed to be first in here? They didn't merely sin and then deal with it. what they did, this idol of the heart is something they were holding on to, something they refused to forsake, something that would get in the way of the very reasonable service that God requires of his servants. Some folks think that Jesus asks too much of us. Let me read to you what he asks. Here it is in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What are we actually talking about? What are some of these idols of the heart? And by the way, we don't have enough time to list nearly all the possibilities. One of the most common ones is your work, your vocation, your job. Very common idol of the heart. It can be something that's so important to you that you'll miss worship over it. How valuable is worshiping God? It's something so important that you would even move away from your church because of it. Hebrews 10 and 24 has never changed since the Apostle Paul penned it. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You don't do that job when you're not here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you worship God when you don't have something better to do? Or because there is nothing better to do and you know it? And I contend that there is nothing better to do than what we're doing right now if you're from the heart worshiping the Lord. Did you know that your family can be an idol of the heart? Now, this happens in several ways. Let me just give you one. Some believers have family with strong religious ties to false doctrine and churches, and often place their commitment to them above their commitment to the Lord. That's way more common than you might realize. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 10, 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now get this. He that loveth father or mother, family, more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm worthy of the Lord anyway. That's not what it means. And every one of us ought to strive to be worthy of what Jesus has done for us. Did you realize that your social connections can often become an idol of your heart? Happens all the time. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Scripture after scripture tells us the same things. But some of you are still allowing your lost friends to pull you right back into the world. And then you brag about it on Facebook. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit. And then afterwards, I'll ask you if you still love me. Let me give you another one, really common. Hobbies and sports become idols of the heart. It's deer season. We love softball, fishing, little league, t-ball, soccer, volleyball, motocross, drag racing. Daryl's not here. I had that all saved just for him. All these and many more are wonderful, great activities in and of themselves. I have two sons. I have more than two, but I have two sons that wanted to race motocross. And they were good at it. And motocross races are on Sunday morning. They rarely have a motocross event that's not on Sunday morning. They're always on Sunday morning. I taught two of my sons that having fun and winning a room full of trophies was more important than worshiping God. That's exactly what I did. I have spent the last 40 years trying to tell them that I was wrong. But I can never undo the irreparable damage that I imprinted on their souls. I can't undo it. And some of you are doing that to your kids right now. And I'm here to tell you that you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. Specific sins, partying with the world, your drinking, the drug use, dishonesty, even the retirement dreams. There is no shortage of different idols that we allow to come between us and placing God in first priority in our life. It's going on all the time. Sinning against God is serious business, folks. Holding on to an idol of the heart, those things that get in the way of properly serving and worshiping the Lord, of being a consistent, dedicated servant of God in one of His churches, these are a step above most of the sins. It's a lot more serious. These are lightweight compared to the next mistake that these elders in Israel made. What was their third mistake? They set the idol of their heart out on display to become a stumbling block to others, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. This is a whole other category of sin when the idol of our heart is set before us on display to become a stumbling block to others. It's one thing to sin. It's another thing to hold on to your sin. And everybody here knows what that's about. God forgives you when you confess your sin, even when you're not yet able to forsake that sin. He still forgives you when you confess it. And you better be glad He does, because otherwise,
amen,
you never would walk in fellowship with God for even a minute. But it is a whole other category to practice your sin openly, to put the idol of your heart on display before your sons and your daughters and your brothers and your sisters in Christ, causing the weak ones to stumble, and it does cause them to stumble. It does. Jesus said to the disciples, who did He say this to? What's it say? Unto who? Unto the lost Pharisees? Unto the unsaved? What's He talking to? This is talking to the disciples. It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, I trust you're wise enough to notice that that's instructions to us. You see, there's always going to be sin in the church until Jesus comes. I hope you understand that. If you find a church where there's no sin going on, you avoid that church because you will ruin it if you join. But you don't have to worry because you're never going to find one. There aren't any. There's always going to be sin in the church until Jesus comes. And some think that being open about it is somehow less dishonorable than hiding it. Not so. Sin is something to be ashamed of. It is. In the Gentile church in Corinth, there was a man in that church living in open sin with his stepmother. I'll just read it to you. If you think this is for mature audiences, you can cover the kids' ears, okay? It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. I would say those are some pretty severe consequences, wouldn't you? This man, who was openly displaying an idol of his heart, doing it openly, was dealt a very serious consequence by the Lord. Here's my question to you. Do you think that he was the only one in that church committing this type of sin? No, he wasn't. The Corinthian church was filled with former heathens whose ministers, before they got saved, were the temple prostitutes. That's who these people are. That's Corinth. Now, there were indeed many others. And the reason I know is because Paul calls it out and names it in 2 Corinthians 12. In verse 21, he said, "Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed." This guy wasn't the only one committing those type of sins. He was the one who was doing it openly. I don't guess they had Facebook to put it on back then, but he was doing it openly. We all, to some degree, come from a background of depravity. You can pretend we're holier than that if you want to, but it's not the truth. After we are saved, the mercy of our loving God gives us time to make progress and to tear down our idols, to grow in grace and knowledge and strength. However, do not make the mistake of placing the idol of your heart out on display so that it negatively affects the lives of those others. I didn't really put this part in the message, but let me remind you of something. When you come into a church, the thing that you assume is that everybody in that church has been there. You know, they're representative of the church. They're who the church is. They've probably been there for a long time. You may not realize that some of the families in the church have been there 2 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years or less. They haven't grown yet. They haven't even learned some of this stuff yet. And you think, they're doing that. That must be okay. And when new believers come into the church, well, he's a deacon, and look what he's doing, and she's a praise team leader, and look what she's doing, and well, they work in the service, and they're working with the kids, and they're in Awana, and they're doing all these other things, but and so it must be okay, they're doing it. It causes the little ones to stumble, and it's not a game, and it's not say, oh, that doesn't ever happen. Yeah, it does. It happens all the time. And you're going to be held accountable for the example that you set before others, just exactly like I am being held accountable to tell you the truth about it. And no, I don't particularly like preaching this kind of a message. It is not fun for me. I like to preach on money and how awesome it is to watch God bless us when we give. And I like to preach on stuff that feel better than this. But yet there was even one greater mistake, even surpassing holding on to that idol of the heart, even surpassing put it on display and letting it affect the lives of weaker Christians. The fourth mistake was to come inquiring of God in this condition. Why are you here today? Have you not come to inquire of me, your pastor, concerning what God has to say to us today? Isn't that what you're here for? Isn't that why you're listening instead of snoozing? And so that's what we do. That's why we're here. Ezekiel 14, verse 7. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, that's three mistakes, and four, cometh to the prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man, or woman, it's generic, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. You have seen families, people come and go. Brother Cecil, been here a long time like me. Some of you, Linda, been here a good while. Some of you less, some of you more. And you've seen families come, and oh, they were doing great. And then you've seen them go. You've seen it all just blow up in their face, and they're gone. And if you knew where they've gone and what they're enduring and what they're going through, you really wouldn't, you don't even want to know that. And you say, well, why does God allow that to happen? You're reading it from the scriptures. You set up an idol in your heart. You put something ahead of God. Then you do it openly in front of the congregation. You might indeed hold on to that idol. Some are. You may put that idol on display and even brag about it on Facebook, and I pray for you often. And that's one of the reasons I don't have a Facebook account. It just makes me sick when I see it. Do not make that final mistake. You don't get to show up at church and join in the worship and listen to the message of God like everything is hunky-dory when you are openly displaying the idol of your heart that you have no intention of tearing down. You cannot do that without the promised consequences that God says is going to come. You rejoice in God's promises. We do, don't we? That's what faith is trusting God's promises. And we rejoice in that, and we're happy about that because we're only thinking about the good promises. You need to understand there are other promises that he is not going to break any of his promises. And when we hold on to that, and we practice that, and we openly display it, and we come in like everything's great between us and the Lord, when all of that's going on, you're not going to do that without the consequences that God's promised that's going to come with it. Am I telling you this so I can say there, ha ha, I told you. No, I'm telling you this because it breaks my heart to see you have to go through what's coming. There's one thing God said to do. One word. Repent. Tear down the idols. Move away anything and everything that's standing between you and worshiping the Lord. In verse 3, God said, should I be inquired of it all by them? That's a question. You already know the answer. In verse 4, God said, I will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Is that what you want? It's not what I want. For me or for you. I know, and God knows, that it's going to take time for you to get your flesh under the control of the Holy Spirit. It takes time to do that. You have to do some growing to do that. It takes time to even figure out what some of these things are that you're doing, to even know that it's sin. You didn't gather all your sinful habits at once, and you're not going to defeat them all at once. But if you think that you can put them on display amongst God's people, please think again. Even some of the things that are not necessarily sin should only be practiced in private. And I'm not talking about sex. That's kind of obvious, isn't it? Romans 14, 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Now that covers a lot of ground. Hast thou faith? Are you confident that wine you drink after dinner is no big deal? I don't see that as a problem. Well, I'm not here telling you that it is. God says, have you faith? Are you confident it's okay? Well, read the next sentence. Have it to thyself before God. If you're okay with it, you don't have a problem with it, everything's good between you and God about it, great. Not everybody can do that. Have it to yourself, between you and God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Everything is not an idol. You could say, well, preacher, everything must be an idol the way you're talking. No, everything is not an idol. But when we allow a practice or an association or a mindset or a goal, whatever it may be, to get in the way of our worship or our fellowship with God, they become idols. An idol of heart is just as serious as setting up a statue and bowing down to it. Some of these things need to go entirely. And I think some of you, I think you know probably which ones those are. Shouldn't be there at all. Some of them need to be restricted. They need to be cut back on. They need to be done in such a way that it's not public. And I think you also know which ones these are. But know this. If you insist on keeping up your party life out there with the world, until you learn better, you better hide it. You better keep it unto yourself, between you and the Lord only. If you're going to drink, don't be foolish enough to openly drink among other believers. I couldn't even begin to tell you how many people are sitting right here among you today which are former alcoholics. God can fix alcoholism. But I'll tell you one thing, you can't drink if you got that problem. And I'll tell you another thing, if your brothers and sisters in Christ watch you do it, you're going to be a stumbling block to them and trip them up, just like God tells us right here. And please don't put it out there on Facebook for everybody to see. What are you thinking? You got to be smarter than that. Amen?
Amen.
If you want to chase money and skip out on church, you'd be better off not to come to church at all if you're not willing to do it faithfully. I don't want you not to come to church, but I want you to be faithful so that God can bless you like he wants to bless you. I want everybody here and happy and growing, but the facts are facts, and God is not going to long put up with our idols being displayed to his dishonor. He's not going to do it. When Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Well, he meant that. And it's true. But that freedom was not designed to enable you to serve your flesh or to serve the world or to serve some idol of the heart. That freedom was designed to set you free so that you could serve the Lord. Free or not. Your choices, my choices, all of our actions, and our inactions, they're going to bring consequences. I said I would ask you again. Do you?
Yes.
I knew it would be weaker than before, but I'll live with it.